All right. Good morning. I guess y'all will keep talking till I start. So I'm going to go ahead and start. I got delayed last week a little bit. Now I'm trying to make sure we got enough to take off with this morning. All right. So we're in the four T's: trauma, truth, transition, and tranquility. Who wants tranquility? That's a good place to be. I'm not going to release too much on that right now until I get there. But we'll probably put in more of that transition and tranquility next week. We'll finish up with that. We'll get past all the trauma part, and we'll get more in depth with the truth. We're going to lavish ourselves with the truth today, because that's what heals us. The truth. The truth is what heals us. The truth is what carries. The truth is what's going to anchor us. The truth is what's going to grow us. The truth is what's going to mature us. The truth is what's going to carry us, stabilize us, to get us to these points of transitioning. Through that transition, if you don't have the truth, guess what you'll never do? You'll never get that transition to the tranquility part, which is a peace of mind. Right, that place we need to be. So, let's look back over. We know, it's not turned right. Can y'all still see it over here? Still see it over there? We need to cut this column out, don't we? All right. Hey, Lilo. So we got this part for the trauma. We see that the physical part, you know, of the wound, the physical part. Now we're into the mind part of it. And as we broke down the other, the living tissues, and this is what we're made up of, right? The body, the flesh, the mind, the soul. And so that's what that trauma attacks. One thing the trauma cannot attack is the spirit. The spirit is whole. The spirit is true. It cannot attack that. But what we're doing is that we allow the trauma affects our soul. And what I found out in going through the healing rooms and inner healing, the Elijah House and the studying and things, it's just crazy how the soul will take over. You know, the soul will take over. It will actually shut things down. Some people think it's like segments or walls or whatever. It'll develop strongholds, in other words. And in doing that, what it feels like it's doing is protecting you. It's protecting you. But what it's doing is really shutting out the spirit from what we were talking about last week. For the spirit is like a candle unto the Lord, searching these things. Well, if there's a wall or a door there, then it doesn't allow the spirit or the truth to get in to heal those things. So as our body grows into adulthood and we become husbands, wives, parents, and in the world, sometimes all that's out of order anyway. We become parents before we even become a husband or a spouse. And so is that in order? No, it's not in order. And that's why we get so discombobulated as a society, so to say. But the kingdom operates and functions differently. It functions and operates in the truth. So if we allow the truth, and we are what? Led by the Spirit. So that way we have to get inside here in that soul and say, soul, I appreciate you. You know, I appreciate you protecting me. And trying to keep me safe. But that's not truth. There's a Lord of my life. A Redeemer. He's going to keep me safe. Okay? And so when we speak that truth in there, we start saying, now, Lord, hallelujah. Woo. Shine your light in here. What did David say over in Psalms 139? I think it's 24, somewhere around there, the last section of that chapter. Search me. Search me, O God. Try me. Know my what? My ways and my thoughts. See if there's not anything imperfect, whatever is imperfect in me, and let's get it out. Let's get it out of there. And so that's what happens when we encounter Christ. We encounter the truth. We find out that he is the lover of my soul. So that gives what? Our soul comfort. Holy Spirit is what? Known as the comforter. So now we start getting comfort. Now we start letting down our barriers, our walls, or we allow the doors to open to allow the Lord to start working, the Spirit of God to come in and start moving inside of us, taking us back down into those dark places that we've closed off, that we don't want to reminisce about. You know, I don't know too many people that reminisce on tragedies. Okay, but that's what I'm saying is reminiscing in a good way of reminiscing. Sitting around like grandparents or whatever used to do, I did. They had photo albums, you know, just stacks of them. And I loved to go and just break them out. And we'd sit there for hours with my cousins and aunts and uncles, and we'd go and reminisce. We didn't have pictures of the traumas and tragedies in our life, you see? So we don't sit down. We don't want to sit down and go over those things. Do they come up? Yes, they come up. Some that we've opened up. But there's things that we shut off in there that we have no idea that that's there or that happened. Some even go to another fact to kind of break off another personality or a time that when that happened in your life, that's who now is like that stopped. Your soul stopped at that age. It will not grow anymore because it's in a shelter. It's closed up. So when everything comes back, guess what's going to respond? You will respond back to that moment as that person, as that little child or whatever it was. And so it's like, that's crazy. But that's a self-protection module, I guess, or whatever mechanism that your soul will try to take over to try to protect you. Again, what do? We open up the word, the truth, when we let the Spirit of God move in. We say, hey, I want you, Lord God, to take over this part. Show me whatever's in here that I need to work on. Why do I lash out this way? Why do I respond this way? Why does it feel like, you know, when something like that happens, it takes me back to this particular place or time in my life? Well, let's work on that. So, with that being said, we got the A and the B, I think the disorder. Let me put the C up here right quick for the trauma part. That way, I think Lynn's got me restocked. I know. We're going to get to it right now. Just want to make sure we get all this stuff laid out. Because we can't leave one thing undone. Because that's what really the soul wants us to do in the flesh. It wants us to skip. Not touch in on it. Because then, well, these are brand new, Lynn. Can't even get the lid off. Pastor Terry, you're going to like these when it's time. All right. Now, this is the other part. So this is what we're talking about today when we're really touching in. It's an emotional upset. So we're not talking just a physical touch. All right. This is like, well, this is a personal trauma. This is kind of cool right here. The emotional upset is the personal trauma. This is pretty good. This is from from Karen W. Aronson, who is not. Oh, I skipped something. Started skipping around reading it. And this is important right here because, well, it's an emotional, there's also trauma can be considered an emotional upset. But look what Karen, this is Karen Aronson, what she put in here, this is her words. It's good. But it says the personal trauma of an executive who is not living up to his own or her expectations. So what does that look like? Okay, so this is what your soul, this is your emotions, this is your mental capacity, things that you put on yourself. Self-traumatization. Because you have expectations, what you want to achieve in life maybe, that things you want to break through or from. And then the next thing you realize that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm failing. So then what happens then? Anybody been there? Anybody there now? Man, I mean, it's like that's a regular. And we don't even look at that as well, you know, we don't accomplish our goals. What was the admiral who spoke at a commencement that he had? He said, "You want to conquer the world?" He said, "How about let's get up in the morning and make our bed?" He said, "Because then you'll be able to conquer the world. You'll be a world conqueror." Making the bed. Why? Because accomplishment. You're already feeling accomplished before you make it out the door. So in this aspect, what happens when you make your own bed, you've already accomplished an expectation in your life. So you're walking out the door with some joy. You're not faced with trauma. Not to mean, hey, when you walk out the door, something might happen then. I don't know. Going down the road, road rage. Okay, there's been some trauma there in my life. Maybe I'm by myself. Praise God, I let that light shine in there. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Look what this number two, see that was all number one part of trauma. Look where we go back with the number two. Again, an agent. I think that's just something. Or mechanism. Let's see. I had it all in my head. Now I kind of got talking and forgot what it was. Yeah. A force mechanism or a force that causes trauma. And here we are again. Back to that right there. So not only are we sometimes our worst enemy, but we're also, we have an agent, again, working, a force. Wow, just like this morning, it doesn't fail, you know. Sunday mornings, trying to get here, especially if I'm teaching. Okay, Kelly's like, well, you might need to take your truck.
I suggested it last night.
I was gonna get there, honey.
I know what Sunday mornings when you're teaching.
No, but anyway, she suggested last night. But it's probably not the wisest decision. Just, you know, I'm gone. Leaving you here with the kids, I'm gone. I'm wise enough to know that we're in this together. No, I mean it. Go. No, you don't. You don't mean that.
That's great.
It's good. Yeah, maybe. Thank you for that reminder. Trauma, trauma, trauma. I don't have any in that area right there that I'm not working on. We're working on it. But trying to get here on time, it's like, wow, wow, wow. And Kelly's playing the song, Can't Get Away From His Love, you know. And so it's like, my goodness, getting away out of this house this morning is about trying to get away from God's love. You know what I mean? Just can't get out of it. Well, I know, well, I'm transparent, and you know, and I'm not trying to talk over your head on anything. That's for sure. I know I'm not in this battle by myself, especially with a lot of children. If anybody had a lot of children, just one, it can be difficult. But I had several more. But anyway, it's like, my goodness, there is some kind of force at work here. And there it is. I mean, it's like, wow. So, and this is what I like to tell people when I'm like trying to counsel with them or just disciple them or just trying to encourage them about our choices and the things that we do. That look, there's all kind of stuff working against us already. Do not self-inflict. You know, try to eliminate that part. Don't put these lofty expectations or things that you might have and even add more emotional upset or trauma into your life, because there's a force out there trying to keep you from getting where you're supposed to, all right? And then like what I said, the soul and the mechanism, right, it'll develop a mechanism try to protect you to keep you from growing or even allowing the truth to get in to where it can help you mature and grow into who you are rightfully given to be. All right. So as we do those, let's look at these things here. Y'all got that? I'm going to knock that out probably. And I'm going to start coming down here and putting this truth into our lives. This thing has seen. There's a song. I think you roll and tear them, can't you? This is a pretty cool deal, but I don't know if you tear it. It might not. I might ruin it. Yep, I got a knife right now. I can handle that kind of stuff. Okay, so let's get this trauma out of here. You ready? Let's go. Buy trauma. You know why? Because we're about to put something else in there. Uh-oh. Extrinsic. That's all right. We can get there. External outside. So we're not even talking outside no more. We're going to start going this way. All right, no more of that. No more agents. We got another agent. Ajax. What is it? Ajax? Something Ajax won't take off. All right, so here we're going to start working in this. And I'm going to put that in there. That's what we're talking about. The truth. That's how we're going to get this trauma and these wounds and these mechanisms, these barriers, these walls in our soul tore down. So let's look at some truth here. As we look here, let's put this up here to kind of take a segue into this. His banner over me is love. So look at this one. Let's put a psalm on here. There's the biggest one, isn't it? It says, I'm just going to leave this up here. All right. So that's what we're going to start with right there. Psalm 119:107 says, I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word or your truth. You preserve it. I've suffered these things. Everybody in here has suffered some kind of trauma, wounds, hurts, all these things. And not to go relive it, you know what I'm saying? But the thing is, what we want to do is kind of get back down to it. And I just felt there was some prayers that we want to kind of go over as a whole before we break camp this morning to allow these things to come in. You know, we want to kind of pray over the 139 Psalm. You know, that is a prayer. That is a prayer. You know, and this is a prayer. You know, I didn't put my quotes on the end of that one either, did I? Let's do that and make it right. But we want to pray these things and say, Lord, whatever trauma, whatever thing that has been hidden, or some of the things that I've kind of just keep pushing down, that I know that's there, but I'm not dealing with them. I want to deal with it. I want to deal with it right now, this moment, today, and allow your truth to move in on it. So let's just go ahead and do that. Lord, right now, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you, Father, for your love and your guidance. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just shine the light down in those dungeons of our soul. Places, Lord God, that we don't want to deal with. Places that we've developed a mechanism to try to keep things from coming up, to try to save and preserve our own life, Lord God, but we can't. We can't do it, Lord. You are the lover of our soul. You are the keeper. You said whatever's been put in your hand, whoever, all the ones that you've been given unto you, you will not lose. So right now, Lord God, we ask that you would just move in, illuminate in our soul anything that's kind of holding us back right now for maturity and growing purposes, Lord, that we can achieve the things that you've perfectly designed us for. We speak your word over it, your truth. And right now, Lord, we know what we want you to do. We have suffered much. Preserve our lives, Lord God, according to your word, according to your truth. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my concerns and see if there is any rebellious way or any hurt thing, whatever we need, Lord God, that's not of you. We ask that you would just move in and lead us in the ancient way or in the ways of your truth, Lord. Lead us, guide us, Holy Spirit. You said that's what you are coming back to do. There's so much more truth that we can obtain, but the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will lead us and guide us into all these things, into your truth. We ask, Lord God, that you will move right now in Jesus' name so that we can absorb the truth that's coming to us right now and apply it to our life in Jesus' name. All right. Eight and a man. Okay. So we have these living tissues, the truth. So there's a couple things that I want to throw out here. This flesh and the body. Let's deal with that part. Now, this is flesh and body, you know, kind of. There's a different kind. You can't. I'm grouping them together. I realize that. If you want to get deep, they're really separate. They're the same, but they're separate. There's a different kind. Your body. There's a flesh on your body, right? But there's also just like the carnal mind, flesh. You know, the carnality of it. So that's the other side that you want to deep. But I'm putting them all in there together because it kind of rolls into the same aspect, and we can just knock two birds out with one stone, right? So that's a good thing. So look here. Look what we're going to do. We're going to use this word, 2 Corinthians. And 4:16. And we can look it up. Somebody can look it up too. But I'm not going to put all of it up here. But I'm going to put most of it. All right, so outwardly we are perishing, but inwardly, what should we be doing? Inwardly We are being renewed daily. Kind of hurrying up a little bit. Is that truth? So what are we trying to preserve? So when we pray this prayer, preserve my life, O Lord. Are we talking about, I want a fountain of youth. You know, I want to feel like a teenager again and look like one. I don't want any wrinkles. Is that what we're wanting to preserve? This old body? 2 Corinthians 5 talks about we moan and groan because we're covered in this carnal, fleshly tent, tabernacle, and we long to be what? Covered in that glorious tent, that glorious tabernacle that God has provided for us in the heavenly, the glorious flesh. Because the flesh is just a type of outward appearance, really, when you start getting into that part of it. So 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that we groan and groan because we want to be in here. So why are we trying to hold on to this body and preserve it? We have wounds to it, okay? And it's continually, it's going to do what? It's going to continue to perish. It's going to rot. Jesus told him over there, he said, hey, I'm from where? Above. Heaven. And guess what? Where I'm going to go back to? Back to above. But you are what? Worldly, earthly people. You're going to go back to the ground. You're going to go back to it. Because what? What was he telling them? Because you are thinking and acting worldly, fleshly. You're trying to preserve the wrong thing. All this stuff that's been afflicted unto your body itself, you're trying to procreate it, recreate it, try to strive to nourish it, and try to keep that back right. I'm not talking about, man, working out and all that stuff. You know what I mean? Hey, I get that part. We, you know, it's of some gain, it says. But spiritual is of great gain. That's the real workout. So this is where we come into this thing and how the world is now. My goodness, how many people show up, you know, every year? And, you know, we're going to get a new gym membership. This is where, you know, our focus is on preserving this life. So our prayer we just prayed isn't about this body. It's about this life. And our body isn't this life. But that's what we look at when we look in the mirror and say, oh, look at this. My goodness. Oh. You know, I got this thing that pops up on my Facebook a lot about older people that used to be younger people. Well, but it's their birthdays now. You know, I think it was Patrick Duffy. Y'all remember him? A Dallas guy. He turned 74. And I was like, wow. And it showed an old picture of him, you know, when he was in his prime, maybe even before Dallas, you know. And then here he is now. It's like, wow. He don't even look the same. You know, and it's like, man. And I see people that, you know, I graduated high school front with, you know, now. And they look back, I said, boy, they really fell off. They ain't been living good, boy. I tell you, they ain't like me. Just some comic relief right there, okay? Because that definitely is comical. Yeah. It's hard to look back to those things. So that right there in itself is what? It kind of goes back when our eyes are off the thing. That kind of like expectation stuff. We're self-imposing this stuff on us. So look what? We put truth on it. We know that, hey, outwardly, this body's going back down. It's going down. Again, I like to teach stuff about like coffee cup stuff, you know, this vessel. It's a coffee cup right now. But I can rinse it out, put some water in it. It's a water cup. This is a cup. It's just something that holds. But you know what's going to happen to it after I'm finished with it? Lynn's going to haul it out. It's going to in the trash. She's going to haul it out. And where's that? And going to the landfill. Where are you going on your life then? That's what this body is. We are what's working on the inside. We are the life that's inside of this cup our vessels. So that's, it's, you know, it's about to go. So look at the other part. Now, we can hang out right there in 2 Corinthians 4, and we will. Y'all got that part? Let's jump back over here. Time constraints. I'm going to put something else on here. Let's go here. Boom. Oh, it's a nice eraser here. That was a good job. All right. That thing's coming off now, Lynn. It just had to get worked out a little bit. But look how good it writes. Oh, boy. The soul. I think I'm in 2 Corinthians again. Paul is addressing this 2 Corinthians, and it's like, man, I'm just going to put this down, go with this, go with that. So this one kind of goes right up above 4:16, and this was actually 4, I think, 6 through 12. And we'll go into that because I think that's really what we want to touch on. And let's say, here's what I like and what we've been talking about. And see, it keeps going. So let's read it. I just want to put that brief little spot up there. So let's turn. Y'all should be there already, aren't you? 2 Corinthians 4. Somebody want to read that right quick? Get a little team cooperation here. Part of the body working. If nobody wants to, I'll read it. Bye. Yeah, let's read that right quick. You got it?
Who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts so we can know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus.
Amen. Sorry, I had to come out of that little jacket there. Sweat starting to roll off. It's a good thing, though. All right, so look, all what we've been talking about was just summed up right there, wasn't it? He shined a light. His spirit, his love, his truth, it's come into us, and it's come to where? Where did it say it was going? To our hearts. What is our heart? What is it?
Center of our being.
Yeah, it's the well. It's the wellspring. It's the innermost inner part of our soul. It's where it all is. You know, that heart is such a fragile but tough. That's where it's at. You know, it does more than just pump blood. There's all kind of chambers in there. You know, and that heart is what kind of attains or retains some of that trauma. It's in our heart, and that's the inner side of our soul. It's not just the blood pumping mechanism. You know what I mean? So that heart is where the issues of life derive from. And of all costs, that's what we're supposed to protect. In the proverb, it says. So with Paul writing that part, said he has shown that light in there. He said, but we have this treasure. What is the treasure? Is it? Are we holding on to the things that's come from the outside, that extrinsic, that external stuff that's come in that's trying to shake things up and tear us down? But what's on the inside? The light. The light is on the inside. Now look at this one right here. I got enough room to. Let's look at this part right here. So what's on the inside? What do we know now? I think it's 17:21. I think that's what it is. Yeah. So somebody flip right there right quick. I'm going to put an exclamation point there. Luke 17:21. Somebody there? You want to read it? I'll flip it.
Nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst.
It's in your midst. Some version says what? It's within you. It's what's in the kingdom. It says at the beginning, the context where it comes down, it says when asked, the Pharisees would come. It says, look, it's not going to come with just some observation. When they say, here it is over here, and here he is over here, talking about the anointed one, here he is, and that's the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Here's the manifestation of the Spirit of God over here. Oh, we need to go over here. We need to go over there. This is where we're going to get it. This is where we're going to get it. You're running around. And Jesus said, listen, I'm telling you, the kingdom is within you. So this trauma comes from what? An external agent. But God says, hey, I'm at work within you. I'm already there. I've already put it in you. Because we do know that what's the other word for spirit in the Greek is pneuma, which means breath. My breath, my spirit is already at work within you. And then when we do meet Christ, we have another promise that comes. In John, he says that what? That when my spirit comes, in 14, I think it is, John 14, he says that what? My spirit will come and he will be with you and he will be in you for about 75 years. Well, some already got that beat, don't they? Forever. So what kind of truth is that? Is it truth? Yes, indeed. It is truth. So when the Spirit of God comes in and that breath, listen, when we give up our last breath, but listen, it's almost like there's almost like another inhale that takes place right at that last breath. And you're caught up. Your body will still be laying there. But you will be gone. You'll be raptured. You'll be taken away. Your spirit will be back in with his spirit. And everything is there. It's already united in here now. It just gets caught up. One. Didn't he pray that too? In John 17. That this word is not just for the ones in my name, what I've kept them in here, but I also pray for the ones who's going to hear the word, hear the truth, and believe, and that they will be what? One in me as I'm in you, you in me, and I'm in them. We'll be one. Forever. One. Not even death can separate the love of God from you. So when we start applying these truths, we're going to have outside things to try to traumatize us, try to break us down, to keep us. But it cannot touch the Spirit of God. It cannot touch the truth. The truth cannot be obstructed or destroyed. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You're whole.
Because the spirit man inside me is still whole and complete. He's still fully there, and he has used the loss of my flesh to help me learn to walk in him every day much better than I did before. So it's literally a physical example of exactly what
he said. Yeah. It's
proved it to be true.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's part of it. And you know, and that's, again, back to that 1 John 4:4 that says, hey, children of God, you've overcome. Because greater is he that's within you than he is in the world. You know, what are we focused on? What do we truly believe? Do we believe the truth? And I'm telling you, whether it's a rhema or a logos, it's the truth. And I like those rhemas. I love the logos too. But I'm telling you, when the rhema and the logos come together, it make you want to... It does. It gets you hyped up and it's like, man, it's confirmation, it's established. And we know it's the truth. So we cling to that. And we know that that's what's going to carry us in our transition. Are we going to get there all at one time? Probably not. You know, then that's going to like, we're already translated, we're gone, we're out of here, you won't see me no more. There's the process that we're going to walk in, but the more we focus and keep that truth and cling to it, the quicker work that's going to happen inside of us. Amen. The quicker work is going to be there. You don't have to be sitting here and going through these steps for 50, 60 years before you finally get it. You know, you already got it. So let's use it. And we start applying those things to our walk and we transition quicker the more we stay focused on this truth and allow it to heal the wounds inside of us. Let's close. Father, we thank you for the love and life you've given us, Lord. And so I should be so bold to thank you for the wounds and the trauma and the things that's come to my life. Lord God, I thank you for those things because those things have helped me cling closer to you. They've gave me a desire to know that I don't want to be that way. All right, whatever it is that I feel, whatever hurt and pain I have, Lord, I know that there's a goodness there because I've tasted of you and I know that you're good. So, Lord, that gives me more of a hunger, more of a thirst for your righteousness, Lord, for your healing and for your goodness, Lord God. So, Lord, I thank you for those traumas. I thank you for just your truth and your love and your life that you've just poured out upon us, Lord God, that you put down deep inside of me for such a time as this. That when I can call upon your name and read your truth, Lord, and hear your breath of life upon me, your word, when it's spoken to me, down to my heart, that I know that you are established in me and I'm established in you, that we are one and that nothing can separate us, Lord God, and that we will grow and we will show your kingdom and people will see your good deeds in this city on the hill, Lord, and they will come and know and glorify you. We praise you for this time and this effort, Lord, that we have, that we're seeking after you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
We'll finish up next week.